You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel. Lord, to give up, I'll be a fool. You are my all.
Vitaly will come and bless us. Amen. Hallelujah. So we've got the power in the name of Jesus.
Give me your hand. Let's agree together. Little our enemies crumble in our feet. For whatever we bind on earth shall be bound in. Shall be bound in heaven at the name of Jesus. Satan has to flee. We got the power in the name of. We got the power. We got the power in the name of the Lord. Satan rages, can never. Got the power in the name of the
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's wonderful to be here again at the house of the Lord. You know, when I just started believing this message, the first message I read was, "As the eagle stirs her nest." You've probably all read this before. And we just want to sing this song. It's freshly translated. It's actually a Russian song, but it's freshly translated into English. You can follow the words here. If you want, you can sing it with us. We'll just enjoy it with you. Please, musicians, it's C, so you can just follow us with this, and we'll just enjoy this with the Lord. Hallelujah.
The eagle mother built a place of rest, keeps it safe from any wind and storm. But there comes a time when she is stirring up her nest, and the eaglet really wants to know. Mama, say what's going on? Why this doesn't feel like home? I'm not too comfortable here. And the mother flaps her wings, placing them against the wings. Full of love, she answers to her boy. 'Cause you're an eagle. Born to soar up in the sky, trusting in your wings to rise and fly in liberty. Things beyond this nest you view, greater works than this you'll do. Doubts you will defy to fly so high, so high. So high, to fly so high, so high. All my life I tried to live like others, but I failed. Couldn't find myself, was out of place. I was trying hard to quench the thirst that I had felt with the worldly or religious ways. But the Lord came tenderly, called me to my destiny, and revealed His attribute in me. I became identified with the bird that's of my kind. Could hear Him calling from above. 'Cause you're an eagle. You were born to soar up in the sky, trusting in the word to rise and fly in liberty. Things beyond this earth you view, greater works than this you'll do. Doubts you will defy to fly so high, so high, so high. Time to fly so high, so high. All the earth earthly trials I am facing on my way. Help me know my Savior better day by day. Jesus calls me higher, and I hold His promise tight. I am joining Him in this celestial flight. For I'm an eagle, I was born to soar up in the sky, trusting in the Word to rise and fly in liberty. Things beyond this earth I'll view, works than this I'll do, coming to the place where my theophany I'll face. My theophany I'll
worship you, for me. Song before Brother Vitaly comes. I'm sure Brother Vitaly doesn't need much introduction. Most saints do know him. He's been here twice, plus with Brother Pavel as interpreter. He's been a real good friend, a precious brother. I really remember seeing Brother Vitaly the first time when he went to Lithuania 2005, when I met Gitana. A life changed for the better. But I've really seen how the Lord has been so much, had his hand upon Brother Vitaly through the years. And he's such a wonderful minister of the gospel now. And it's fine to see somebody who's talented in singing, worship. He used to do the youth. Now the Lord has really raised him up to minister the word. So we're really looking forward to seeing what the Lord will do through our brother upon this day and tomorrow in the morning. So we just pray God's blessing upon the ministration of the word. Just before we come to the word, let's sing one more, Brother George, if you have one, brother.
The way show
You all. It's wonderful to be here in this church, quite unexpectedly, but by the grace of God, we're here and we're enjoying ourselves here in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. In the presence of the saints. Hallelujah. In the presence of the children of God. And it's just as Brother Andrew said, it's always a blessing to meet good friends. Hallelujah. And your pastor does really deserve a lot of credit, you know, and when he's been to our church quite some times, and the last time he was there, I think at the end of last year, and it was a tremendous blessing. It was a huge blessing. And it was my honor to be interpreting for him as he was preaching. And, you know, it was probably the only time in my life as an interpreter, doing interpreting for more than 15 years, at the end of the last service, I just couldn't interpret. I just couldn't interpret because of how strong the anointing was. You know, all the tears were right here in my throat, you know. So I could barely translate because of the anointing that fell down when your pastor was preaching there. And the most surprising and the most stunning thing was that when he came, we didn't even have a chance for a fellowship, and we didn't kind of share what he was preaching in his church, what we were preaching in our church. But when he came, he just preached throughout all the three services. He preached what we have just preached last week. The pastor was preaching, I was preaching, the other brother was preaching. And it was quite a turning point, you know. And it was amazing to see how the Lord would send someone from another country, not knowing what's going on, what's being preached. And to just have a second witness of what's the truth, you know. And it was amazing to see. I was standing in the front with Brother Andrew, and I was just looking in the faces of the people, and they were just stunned. They were not even saying amen too much, because they were stunned, you know. They were like, man, we've heard this before, and just recently heard it before. Okay, but that's one service. Okay, but how come the second service, the same is going on, you know, and the third service, so the Spirit of the Lord was so, I should say, so sensitive in the man of God, that he was being used in a supernatural way,
And you know, at the end of the last service, I just couldn't interpret. I just felt like crying and things. So it is a real honor now to stand at the pulpit of this man of God who can preach so sensitively. Hallelujah! It's a great responsibility, and we're facing a holiday where we're facing a feast right now. It's the time of Easter. It's the time of Passover, and the essence of Easter and Passover is the fact of the resurrection, right? It's a fact of somebody who was dead and became alive. And that made the difference. That made the whole sense of Easter and why we're celebrating it, right? Hallelujah. The sense was not even the fact he was on the cross. The sense was that he got resurrected from that cross. Hallelujah. From his death right into life to give life to the church. And then 50 days later, the sense came to the people, to the 120, right, at the day of Pentecost. So the essence of Easter, the essence of the Passover is the resurrection, the revival of a dead body into a living body, right, and then passing on to the church. Hallelujah. So this is what I actually wanted to talk to you about today, and I don't know how the Lord will lead us. We'll just leave it to Him. But I would like to pray with you before we proceed to the Word. Lord Jesus, I'm so grateful I can stand here at the sacred place, Lord, where Your Word is being preached by Your faithful servants. Lord Jesus, hallelujah, it's an honor for me, Lord Jesus, and I believe, Lord, it's an honor for each one of us to be in the church that You have formed, that You have birthed, Lord, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, in the privileged position, Lord, not even in the building itself, but in the group of people, hallelujah, who are connected by special supernatural bonds, hallelujah. Oh, Lord Jesus, by heavenly bonds, hallelujah, by a blood which is not man's blood, but the blood of God, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, we thank You with all our hearts, hallelujah. Oh, and we ask You, Lord, to come down with Your blessing, Lord, upon Your Word today, hallelujah. We've enjoyed the worship, Lord. We just went and connected in, joined in, Lord. We believe into the anointing and the Spirit, Lord. And now we want to hear the Word, Lord Jesus. We've heard the Word in the songs as well. We have professed it. We have confessed it, Lord Jesus. We sang it, Lord, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, now we need a greater revelation of Your Word, even more, because we'll never be satisfied, Lord. Hallelujah, Father. Oh, Jesus, bless. Lord, I need to go out of the way, Lord, so that You would just lead me, Lord, so that You would just go before me, Lord, and Your angel, as You have promised. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, help everyone to concentrate their attention to the Word that is being preached, not on the man, Lord, but on the words that are being preached. Hallelujah. On the essence of the Word, Lord, on what You want to tell each one of us, Lord, from the youngest to the oldest, Lord, even to the children, even to the young ones, Lord. Hallelujah. Even to those of any age, Lord. Hallelujah. So that because Your Word doesn't see age, Lord, it sees the attribute in us, Lord. Hallelujah. Speaks to our attribute, Lord. Speak to us today, Lord. Speak to me today, Lord. Hallelujah. I'm a needy person today. Oh, Jesus, we thank You with all our hearts, Lord. Commit ourselves into Your care in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And since we're speaking about the resurrection, we're speaking about Passover, and we're speaking about Easter, we would like to read a chapter from the book of Old Testament, the book of Ezekiel. A very familiar scripture that I believe your pastor have preached many a time. But it happened so that it laid on my heart as well. It's Ezekiel 37, and it's a resurrection chapter. Hallelujah. It's a resurrection chapter, and I want you to focus on that, because there's a certain plot here, there's a certain setting that gives us a time of deadness, and then there was a revival. There was a resurrection.
Hallelujah.
So that's Ezekiel 37. If you can turn to that, or we can show that on the screen. That's 37. We'll start with verse 1, and we'll just read one by one, and then we'll dwell on that a little bit. As you know, English is not my native language, so please bear with me. I need special grace from the Lord to preach in this language. Hallelujah. So Ezekiel 37:1, and the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out into the spirit, in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. And behold, shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the winds, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Hallelujah. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We're cut off for our parts. Therefore, prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall you know that the Lord have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. You can be seated. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Do you believe the Bible is written for believers? Hallelujah. Do you believe the Bible is written for you? Hallelujah. Because this is what is so special about this book, is that we can read it and it just turns into a mirror. All of a sudden the page turns into a mirror when we can look into it, and it's we're saying that's us. That's me. That's our church. That's our pastor. That's me. That's our deacon. Amen. That's the musician. Hallelujah. That's the world event. Amen. Hallelujah. We can see that in the Bible, because we are living in the days for which the Bible actually was written. Amen. You just think of the fact, you know, if we take what Brother Branham speaks and what the Bible speaks about the days of the seventh angel. Amen. Hallelujah. And what should happen in the days of the seventh angel, all the mysteries should be revealed. Amen. Right? So it's the only time in the Bible where all the mysteries are revealed. Amen. All the mysteries are all the Bible. Right? So listen, we're living in the times where the whole Bible is revealed. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So we can say all the Bible was written to be fully revealed in our day. Today. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You're saying, I don't understand the whole Bible. Hallelujah. But it's the time when we can do that. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. You're saying, I'm a sister. Yes, but you can do that. Amen. In these days, because it's a special day of the revelation of the Word of God. Amen. Through Amen. The prophet. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus, we thank you for that. Hallelujah. So I would just like to turn your attention to this, to the scripture here. We may go back and forth through other stories and pictures, but I don't know how much you're used to dramatizing in this church, and how many preachers come here and paint a picture for you. But this is sometimes what happens to me when I preach. So don't be afraid if that happens and you start seeing things, a picture in your imagination, in your life or whatever. This is what sometimes happens. So you can be prepared for that. Hallelujah. And because the Bible says without vision, people perish. Without seeing the picture, the people will perish because they don't know where they're going, where they are, right? Hallelujah. If you, like here, it's probably a former factory, right? Or something like this building here. And you need an evacuation plan somewhere here, right? And you probably have it hanging, you know. In the case of fire, right? The smoke comes in, the fire comes in, and you want to run out, and you don't know where, right? So you go to the evacuation plan, and some evacuation plans lack one important thing, and they show all the maps, they show all the exits, they show everything, but they don't show where you are on the evacuation plan, right? And you're like, okay, I know that there are three exits out of this. But where am I in this plan? Where's the spot I'm standing right now? Maybe I'm standing by the second exit, okay? Maybe I'm standing by the third exit, right? Hallelujah. So I believe that we're living in the times where we should know all the exits because it's emergency time, right? Hallelujah. We know one important exit out of this world, out of this situation in the world is the rapture, right? Hallelujah. There's another possible exit is that we can die tomorrow, too, in Christ, right? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So there are actually two exits right here, you know. So you should know all the exits where you're standing in on the map, right? Amen. Hallelujah. So we would like to look at this scripture here, and the hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. Who's this? Who's talking? It's Ezekiel talking, right? It's the book of Ezekiel, the prophet Ezekiel, and the hand of the Lord was upon him, and it carried him out in the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. And he set him down in the midst of the valley that was full of bones. So imagine, there's a man of God, there's a prophet, right, by the name of Ezekiel, who is being taken by the Lord and placed somewhere else. Right? Right here it was a vision, right? It was an interesting vision. But it happened to the prophets and men of God in different times when God would even physically, geographically take them from one place, place them into another place, right? Hallelujah. Or send them to another place. So we can see here a man of God which is being moved from one place to another place, right? And there's a spirit attached to it, right? It's a spiritual vision. Hallelujah. And it caused me to pass by them round. And behold, there were many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man. Okay, so this is who's in the scene. The Son of Man. Who's the Son of Man? Son of Man is a prophet. Amen. We've been taught that. We know that very well. A Son of Man is a prophet. Amen. Right? Hallelujah. Yes. And you can... If I tell you, okay, we'll now speak about Brother Branham, okay? We'll now speak about the Son of Man who was revealed. We're speaking about the prophet. And if you put this filter on top of this chapter 37 here, you'll see a full picture of it, right? You'll see a full picture. There was a prophet that came and revived the people, took them from their graves, right? Hallelujah. And you can see it through that filter, right? Through this perspective, from this angle. But I want to change the angle a little bit, and I believe I won't go astray in this, because Brother Branham himself says that a New Testament prophet is a preacher. Yeah. Amen. Amen? Okay, let's narrow it down and say, if he is a preacher, then the Son of Man, or the prophet right here in the New Testament, is a pastor. Amen. Okay? Is that okay? Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, we can just go around and say, you'll say, no, you're narrowing it down to something we don't believe, right? But we can go another way and say, okay, there's a ministry of the Son of Man, right? Even though Brother Branham is gone, the ministry of the Son of Man is not gone.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. The ministry of the Son of Man is going on.
Amen.
Right? Because Brother Branham said, when you're reading the message, you're feeding on the body word of the Son of Man.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So there's anointed men of God who are feeding on the body word of the Son of Man, and they become the ministry of the Son of Man.
Amen.
I think it shouldn't amaze you or surprise you in any way, because the seventh angel was standing with the book, right? And then there was John who came, and the angel gave him the book, right? And he had to eat the book of the seventh angel, right? Eat it and then prophesy.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Took it from the prophet and became a prophet.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, praise the Lord. So let's narrow it down to a pastor. Can we do that?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Because I think that it's very important to see how the Lord is dealing, how the Lord is dealing in the resurrection ministry of every church.
Amen.
Of every church. How He's moving and how He's dealing. Through whom is He using? What's going on behind the curtains? What's going on behind the scene?
Amen.
The pastor might not, I don't know what he's preaching here, you know. Sometimes, you know, when he comes over, I listen to him preach. Sometimes I stream some of the services just to see how things are going, you know, and how people are looking, you know, because they're friends, you know. But on the large scale, I wouldn't know what he would be preaching. But knowing the hearts of the pastors, I would say the pastor is not usually very open about things that are going on behind the curtains, right? Because you see him at the pulpit here, you would see him at the office, maybe you'll call him or whatever. But what's going on behind the scenes? What's going on out there when you don't see him? Right? Hallelujah. So I'd just like to stress this because it's scriptural, because it's right here in the scripture. And then when the church understands that, I believe they see their own place, they see their own position in this, right? And they see their own connection with that ministry too. Hallelujah. So you can imagine the hand of the Lord, hallelujah, is upon a pastor. And the Lord is moving him in the spirit to another place. In the spirit. It's a spiritual affair. It's not a physical. The church is not a physical affair at all. Your pastor, whoever minister is here, you're not interested in physical affairs. You're interested in the spiritual affairs of the Lord. You're interested in the spiritual maturity of every single member of that church. Hallelujah. So, a man of God is taken from one place. I mean, it even geographically works out with Brother Andrew right here. And you think about it, right? He was in Africa, you know. He was in a certain place, but then the hand of the Lord was upon him.
Amen.
Just knowing a little bit from his history. And then the hand of the Lord moves him from one place to another place.
Amen.
In the Spirit.
Amen.
In the Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Because sons of God are led by the Spirit of God, right?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So we can see that this man of God is carried out in the Spirit of the Lord and set down in the midst of a valley which was full of bones.
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I remember Brother George and Brother Andrew, when they came first to Lithuania, they started sharing how they started evangelizing Dublin.
Amen.
My goodness. Hallelujah.
Amen.
They just arrived in the valley.
Yeah.
They sent out 1,000 of invitations. Yeah. Nobody came for the evangelistic service.
Yeah.
Lord Jesus, you imagine how dry the bones were. They didn't even move when the invitations were sent out. It never even, you know, touched their hearts, you know. But Because a man of God is sent in the Spirit of the Lord, there's an assurance, right? If there's a ministry, there should be people to the ministry, right?
Amen.
We should benefit from it, right? Because the pastor is actually sent for a church. If there's no church, if there's no sheep, why should you need the profession of a shepherd, right?
Amen.
If there were dogs right here, God would send a dog raiser, you know? But if there are sheep here, God sends a shepherd,
Amen.
Right? And because he sends a shepherd, there's a valley here, and it's full of bones.
Hallelujah.
You can look back into history, right?
Amen.
We're talking historical now. But you can look back into the history. And verse 2 says a very interesting thing. This is what Brother Andrew was doing, you know. Hallelujah. And he caused me to pass by them, bones, round about.
Amen.
Oh, man.
Amen.
He was passing from one house to another. He was passing from one place to another. He was looking for seed here. He was looking for contact here. He was looking for everywhere. He was going round and about, being moved by the Spirit. Why? Because there's something here. There's a secret in this vision. Hallelujah. Something should be happening. Nothing is happening, but something should be happening. Because the Lord said, because the Lord sent you there. Hallelujah. Something should be happening. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, and behold, this is what his conclusion probably was when he looked at the whole situation. There were very many in the open. There's material, right? Hallelujah. There are people, there are sincere people. Some people are interested. Some people are sensitive, right? And lo, they were very dry. Lord Jesus. The anointing of the city of Dublin made them so dry. The anointing of Laodicea made them so dry. And the man of God could see that. And he's looking in. I mean, you can imagine Ezekiel. It's like a horror story. It's like a horror movie, you know. It just appears in the valley, or in our Russian Bible it says in the field, because it was a battlefield, right? And he came around in the valley, and you can imagine him just going, is it okay if I walk over here? Okay. And so he's just going around, you know, and there's bones everywhere. He's alone. He's the only living being out there. And there's bones right here, there's skulls right here. This skull has teeth, this one doesn't. There are bones here, tie bones, and there are really dry bones, and they are useless bones. And I mean, it's really scary, right? You're just walking like in an open cemetery somewhere, you know, where the bones are up on the ground here, and he's just walking and saying, "Lord, what am I doing here? What am I? I mean, yeah, I know you sent me, but what am I doing here among the bones?" I mean, what should I do? Should I take up this skull here and put it on my shelf? Or maybe I should use this skull to put my pens and pencils into it? Or whatever, maybe I should take this bone and take it to the doctors and try it out and see if maybe they could pull out the DNA from it, right? Oh, and he's just walking round about and he's seeing all those things. And imagine the bones, the skulls, and all those dead things, they were useless. They were absolutely useless, brothers and sisters. Absolutely useless. What would you use a bone for? In our country, they use dog bones to do soap, you know, to produce soap. I mean, and that's a very honorable thing, of course, right? I mean, it's absolutely useless when you look at the bones at a certain stage, at a certain point of life. Those bones were very useful, right? Because the bone means there was a living organism in which the bone was functioning or not functioning, but it was alive, right? And mind you, this is a battlefield. This is a battlefield. It's not a cemetery, it's a battlefield. You're reading it further, and what's going on in there? There's an army, right? There was a war, right? So they were bones, functioning bones, bones of a hand that could use a sword, bones of a hand that could use a spear, right? A skull of a man who could see far off and maybe hit a hare with his slingshot, right? These were warriors, buried, slain, right? And but when they died, and a lot of time passed since then because they were very dry, right? You can imagine Ezekiel in that desert there, right? Under the hot sun in that valley, and all those dry bones were absolutely useless now. They used to be useful back there. They used to be functioning. They used to be needed by the community. They used to be needed by the people. But now they're absolutely useless. You don't even want to touch a dead bone. Right? Friends, I think you were thinking spiritual, right? Because we're talking pastor church. Right? We're talking somebody who was a useless bone in this world, in this valley, wherever God found you. You were useless, even though you could be a functioning member in the past, right? But in this world, you were just useless. You were used by the world. You were maybe somebody took this bone or took this skull and maybe put it on the shelf, right? And maybe worshipped it or whatever, or put it and put some color on it, right? But it was you as the bone were treated as a thing. You were treated as an object. You were not treated as a living being. They could throw the bone anywhere, just like they throw you in the world. They use you and throw you away because you're useless. They can kick you if you're a skull, right? You look like a ball and you're rotating, you're rolling. And they're making fun at you when they kick you, right? You as a bone were useful in this world. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, but we can see the interest of the Lord in the setting, in the situation. Hallelujah. Man, this man of God, this Ezekiel, he wasn't even interested in the bones. He didn't even know what's going to be happening, right? But we can see the interest in the bones was from above. The Lord was interested in this very, very particular strange situation. Weird, right? And the prophet of God, as a son of God, as a son of man, as a pastor, let's say, he's just looking around. He doesn't even understand what's going on, but he's obedient to the call, right? But he sees something is happening, and then the Lord, and he just turns his ear, tunes his ear into the channel of the Lord, says, Lord, what am I doing here? It looks terrible in Dublin. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. But then there's a voice coming, and it asks a question. Amen. And it asks a question, and it says, Son of man, can these bones live? Amen. I mean, it's a full horror story. I tell you, all those bones laying there and they will live. And then the Son of Man is even more puzzled. And he's saying, where should I know it from, Lord? I mean, you place me in the spirit here. I'm walking here in an unpleasant place. In a cemetery, in an open cemetery full of bones. And then the Lord shows interest in those bones. Hallelujah. This is what I want to say. The Lord was interested in you before you even became a believer. Hallelujah. He was interested in you because you are an eternal attribute of God if He was interested in you. Hallelujah. Even before, hallelujah, He was already interested in you. Hallelujah. It wasn't particularly the pastor. It was particularly God who was interested in the bones. But there was an intercessor. There was somebody in between, right? Who the Lord was using for that. And you can imagine Ezekiel, and he says, Lord God, you know. It means, Lord, I don't know, you know. I don't know. Hallelujah. I'm just obedient. But you know. You know, you have the foreknowledge. You know who's the seed. You know where the sons of God are. I'll just follow you, the pastor says, you know. So sometimes, you know, when we look at the pastoral ministry, we can say, hey, this man doesn't know where we're going. Sometimes it happens so. You know why? Because the Lord gives us and gives the pastors. Praise God, I'm not a pastor. Hallelujah. It's, oh, Lord Jesus, save me from this. I mean, but when there's a pastor, the Lord shows, it's a man of vision. And he can see a certain vision ahead, right? He can see a certain distance. And if you ask him or any other pastor, do you see further than that? They'll say, Lord, you know. Because they're dependent, they're sensitive to the Spirit, where they should go. Because if they have a program of we'll go here and there and then there and there until the end of the rapture, all written down here, this will be a man program, right? But there's a God who gives vision to the pastors, right? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And he said unto me, can those bones live? Hallelujah. So God is interested in the life in those bones. Hallelujah. Another thing that is very interesting here is that when Ezekiel is walking at the scene with the bones and skulls and everything, he sees the realistic picture of it. Right? God can see something else in the bones there. Because we've read the end of the story, right? Why God was interested in the bones. But the pastor can see the realistic situation, right? Just like Brother Branham. You know, when he saw the vision of the bride, the preview of the bride, he saw the very realistic picture of what the modern church was and what the true church was. And what was going on in the modern church and what was going on in the true church, right? He saw the realistic things. He didn't see it flowery, right? He didn't see it being through pink glasses or whatever. He saw the realistic things, right? He can see the realistic situation. He can see your realistic state of mind, right? This is what a pastor can do, right? Because he's a man of God anointed. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. And he saw the realistic picture. Hallelujah. Amen. And now, you can see that God is speaking. But please notice, God is not speaking to the bones.
Amen.
God is not speaking to the bones. God is dealing with the man of God.
Amen.
Who will speak to the bones.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
To make them a living army.
Amen.
God does not deal with them straightforwardly. Here comes a wind of spirit and puts flesh, whatever, blah, 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 blah. Here they spring up. They should be a man.
Amen.
Through whom God is dealing with the bones to make them a functioning body.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. And this is what is going on behind the scenes when you look into any ministry, actually. Not even the pastoral ministry, but any ministry here.
Amen.
Right? Hallelujah. Amen. God will put it on the heart of a prophet. God will put it on the heart of a pastor. God will put it on the heart of an evangelist to do something, or a teacher. Hallelujah. And then through him, the Lord will deal with the church. Hallelujah. That's why preachers sometimes go through certain trials and certain situations in the family they would never want to face. Why? Because God is dealing first with the man of God and then to transfer the same experience and the same vision into the people he's hurting. Hallelujah. This is what is going on sometimes behind the scenes. Brothers and sisters, hallelujah. We're just opening the curtain a little bit. You know, you can see the platform, you can see the scene, you can see the actors here, the preachers, the musicians, whatever. But what is going on behind the scenes sometimes? All the heartaches, all the situations that the pastor is going through sometimes because the Lord wants to use him for you. Hallelujah. So far, we can see only one living being here. It's the man of God. No other living being so far in the picture, right? In verse 3, right? But in verse 4, we can read, "Again he said unto me, prophesy upon those bones. Prophesy upon those bones and say unto them, O you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." A paradox in itself. How would a bone hear a human voice? Amen. Go to a cemetery and try it out. I mean, it doesn't work. Hallelujah. It's a paradox in itself that you and I, as dry bones, have heard the voice of God through some prophet, through some preacher. Hallelujah. It's a paradox in itself, Lord. Hallelujah. Because we were dead in sins and trespasses. But God, who is rich in mercy, hallelujah, he revealed himself to us. It's a paradox in itself. A bone can hear. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. Hallelujah. And not even speak to the bones, you know. Person can speak to himself too, right? Or to objects sometimes. Oh, you stupid car, you know, whatever. But the Lord says, prophesy. What is a prophecy? It's a saying that should come to pass. Right? Hallelujah. It's like a mechanism that you sent out by verbal form, and this mechanism starts working and coming into reality, right? Hallelujah. And so this is what the Lord speaks to Ezekiel, to this man of God, and he says, prophesy unto the bones. Now, if somebody prophesies, then this will come to pass. And if God inspires them to prophesy, this is what will come to pass, right? Hallelujah. And this is what he just, what is going on? The Lord is giving the man of God a sermon, right here. Giving him a thought, giving him a line of thought, giving him a series of services, right? Hallelujah. And the Lord says, you should preach about flesh. You should preach about sinews here. You should preach about skin this week. Hallelujah. Oh, you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Right? They should hear it first, right? And thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. So he is preaching life. Hallelujah. And I will lay sinews upon you, will bring upon up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And verse 7 says, so I prophesied as I was commanded. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, I love it, you know, because this is so real. What's the date today? It's April the 20th, right? This is April the 20th, 2014. This is April the 19th. This is April the 21st. Hallelujah. This is what's going on. The Lord is putting a certain burden, a certain word on the preacher's heart, and he brings it out to the church. As he was commanded. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And sometimes we're wondering why this is being preached. And why is he saying certain things? Why is he touching upon a certain subject? Because the Lord told him to prophesy. Amen. And he did it as he was commanded. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Sometimes it hurts. Sometimes you don't want to hear it. Sometimes you wonder how the pastor or the evangelist or whoever, how in the world you could know all those things.
Amen.
But if we have the trust in the ministries, hallelujah, if we know that it was a man of God,
Amen,
was being led, he was back there, he was walking up there when we were all bones.
Amen.
And he was being used back then, right?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Then we can know that he's being used now as well, right? And this is why he can preach what he's preaching, right? We don't see the full result of it. We don't see the end result of it. But the Lord is showing certain things to the man of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
This is what happens.
Amen.
There's a noise going on in the church when the pastor is bringing the preacher is bringing the old dry bones into action.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
There's a noise. There's a rattle going on. There's a rattle here in the family because the wife doesn't believe. There's a rattle here because the kids don't want to go. There's a rattle here because there's a problem with financial things or whatever. Because the word is being preached. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. Hallelujah. And there's a noise going on. It's not a silence. It's a movement. It's a movement of the Spirit. There's noise. There's audible sound going on. Hey, what's this group doing here in this Dublin? They've been assembled here for so many years. What's going on there? There's noise in there, right? People are talking about it. People are trying to stream. People are coming. People are going. Right? Hallelujah. Because there's noise. Because the word is being preached. It's the result of the preaching of the word. There'll be noise. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And there's noise. There was a noise. And behold, a shaking. Hallelujah. A certain revival starts going on, right? Hallelujah. There's a shaking. There's a movement. You can't come to the Lord and stay the same.
Amen.
You'll be shaken off all the things that you've been in the world, your denomination, and your other church, and your ideas, whatever. You'll have to shake things off.
Amen.
Hallelujah. There'll be noise about it. Hallelujah. I tell you, I guarantee there'll be noise because there's a devil, there's a being that is not interested in the dry bones to stand up and become living beings.
Yeah.
There'll be a noise. You'll be fighting for that.
Yes.
You'll be fighting for that soul, you know. So many times it's been. He'll always hinder a baptism, right? He'll always hinder a church service or whatever because, and there'll be noise. Why? Because the preacher launched the noise. He launched the situation.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He launched the shaking.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I mean, imagine those old bones. They were so comfortable on this, laying on that ground, you know. I mean, they were set in their ways. Right? They were living a nice life. Very silent, right? Nobody bothers them. They do whatever they want to do. If they want to lay with their teeth into the sand, they will lay there. If they want to, you know, to stick out as a bone from the sand like this, they'll stick out. You know, they'll be self-expressing. They'll be different, you know, or whatever. And nobody moves them from the position. They're in their calm state of life. And they, I mean, a lot of those bones were probably even satisfied with that. They were laying there. I mean, oh, I enjoy the sun. Oh, how I enjoy the world. Oh, it's so beautiful. Our denomination is wonderful. Hallelujah. I can't imagine anything better than this. Don't touch me. Don't offer me anything better than this. Hallelujah. But God had a better thought than the skull head. God had a better thought than the bone head. Because there's a little bit of marrow maybe there, a little bit of brain. But it's all dried up because these were very dry bones. Even if they thought something and planned something about their future, it was wrong whatsoever because it was a bone thinking. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. But there's a God who is interested in the bone, who has a grand plan for the bones. Hallelujah. And he's using a man of God in a strange ways, and maybe Ezekiel didn't even want to look at those bones. It was disgusting maybe. Some people, they can't even go to some medical hospitals, you know, can't see blood or can't see bones, and they're like, ugh, you know, they'll feel like vomiting, you know, looking at those bones. But he was sent there to preach and prophesy to the bones. There's something in those bones. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, and he starts prophesying this. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord had to use his servant. I want to turn with you to Romans 10, 13 for a minute. And it speaks in the New Testament, just to confirm, how God is using his servants. That's Romans 10. Oh, Paul was quicker than I. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We can say amen to that, because we were saved just like this. But how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? They can't. There should be a man figure there. Right? Hallelujah. To preach and say all those things, and then you can hear if God gives you an ear to hear, just like Brother George was singing this, right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And how shall they preach except they be sent in the Spirit of the Lord? Right? Hallelujah. And it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good tidings. Hallelujah. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report? And so then faith comes by hearing.
Amen.
And hearing by the word of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
This is how you can become from a dry bone to a living figure, to a living organism.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Only if you can hear the word and believe it.
Amen.
Oh, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God was using his servants everywhere. You know, he sent Peter to the house of Cornelius, right?
Amen.
He first sent the angel.
Amen.
But the angel didn't preach to them.
And
God had to send for Peter to come and preach to those. And as soon as the word of preaching and as soon as the word of prophecy through Peter hit the bones in the house of Cornelius, they were all baptized with the Holy Spirit. As Peter was still going on in his speech, right? The Holy Spirit fell down on them even before they were baptized with water. Right? Hallelujah, because the same principle is going on here. The man of God is sent there. God preaches through him, revives the bones. Hallelujah. The eunuch was gone and he had the books, right? He had the books. He was in the chariot. He was. He had all the books he could buy in Jerusalem, right? And he was reading Isaiah in the book and he couldn't understand, right? He needed faith. How does faith come? Through hearing. Hearing through the word of God, right? That's why God sent Philip to join this. Hallelujah. And then he could explain it, and the attribute was revived. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The same thing is going on all throughout the scriptures, right? Hallelujah. And we can see there was a shaking, right? In the seventh verse. So I prophesied as I was commanded. Right? Somebody was preaching. There was a series of services. There was years of preaching. Right? Hallelujah. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. Right? There was a noise going on. You know? Someday there was a noise going on in Dublin, you know. People started getting converted, right? People started getting emotional. A lot of people came, right, to see what's this message all about? Who's this new preacher here in Dublin, right? And then they got hooked by this message, right? They got caught because they were fish, maybe, right? Hallelujah. And then as they were going through an emotional time, right? They were going because there was a noise. Somebody was preaching and the result was a noise. There was repentance of people, right? Hallelujah. And I can see, and he says, I can see those bones shaking. I could see them, he says, coming together, right? Man, somebody who's dead in sins starts coming together with others who were also dead in sins, right? And they are coming together in one building. They're coming for the church, right? Hallelujah. They're coming into this church. They started moving. They may be even start doing something in the church. They may be taking certain positions. They may be helping out with the chairs. They may be helping out the pastor with, opening the doors, the janitor or whoever, you know, doing. Maybe somebody is gifted in music, starts playing, right? There's a noise. There's a movement of bones,
amen.
Right? Hallelujah.
Amen.
And the bones came together, bone to his bone,
amen.
Right? You recognize familiar spirits. You recognize familiar hearts. You recognize familiar souls, right?
Amen.
And you come, you see how this brother, he can sing so well with this brother, right? Hallelujah. You can see that those two deacons, they just can wonderfully come together in this ministry, right?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Imagine this is what is going on because somebody was preaching it.
Amen.
Because somebody was preaching it.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
There's a movement going on. There's a positional placing of people into their bone places.
Amen.
Right? Because you cannot place this bone here.
Amen.
Right?
That's right?
You know? You cannot place these bones somewhere here.
Amen.
Right? Hallelujah.
Amen.
So the pastor is being used for this positional placing of people. And somebody may say, hey, I'm this bone. The pastor knows better. The pastor knows, he sees better.
Amen.
He's seen you even before you were starting to move.
Amen.
He's seen you even laying out there on the sand. He's seen all your progress, how you come,
amen.
Right?
Amen.
What kind of bone you look like, right?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And the whole positional placing starts where? From the pastoral ministry, right?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Because he can see you fit in here, right?
Amen.
Ah, maybe you fit in here just temporarily. Because maybe these are the two bones, right?
Amen.
They're very similar, but they're different.
Amen.
But maybe there's no bone like this in the church so far. And the pastor takes this bone and puts it here temporarily.
Amen.
Right? Because they look alike, they may function. This hand may not, bend like this, because of the two similar bones here. You know, but at least it can move like this. You know, there's a temporary placing too. Sometimes, you know, hallelujah. We can see it in the Bible. Some people were temporarily placed somewhere, even disobedient when God wanted to replace them back, like Saul, right? And the Lord said, you're not this bone. He says, not I am. I am. I'll stay here. I'll even cast out this other bone from here. Oh, Lord. But the Lord knows better.
Amen.
Thou knowest.
Amen.
Who has that mind?
Amen.
Who's been there from the beginning.
Amen.
Who's been there. Who's birthed
Amen.
That church.
Amen.
Who's birthed those souls. Right?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And the bones come together to one bone, bone to his bone.
Amen.
Right? Hallelujah. And the pastor starts preaching. Hallelujah. And he starts preaching maybe, and he starts showing your position in the word. Right?
Amen.
Hallelujah. He starts preaching about Martha, and he starts preaching about somebody who is serving the table so well. Right? That it pleased Jesus. This was one of the best homes he's ever been to. This was the home of the friends. Somebody was serving the table. Somebody was asking questions. And another man, Lazarus, was one of his best friends there. He was feeling comfortable in there. And the pastor can see this particular family also serving as Martha, maybe, as Mary, as Lazarus. And he preaches that and shows this position. Your home is comfortable for a minister. Your home is comfortable for a fellowship, right? You have the gift of serving. You have the gift of listening, right? You can ask better questions than anybody else, right? Hallelujah. Oh, you Lazarus, you may even be silent all the day, but you are so nice. I would just enjoy your company, even if you don't speak. Right? Hallelujah. And the pastor is showing all those positions in the Word to his church. Right? Hallelujah. And sometimes he may go to Zacchaeus or Levi. Right? You know that these were the two men that served with their house as well to Jesus. Right? Hallelujah. The interesting thing about Levi is when he was collecting all the taxes, you know, and Jesus was passing by and he says, Levi, follow me. And Levi followed him, imagine where, to Levi's house. Because the next verse says, and as they were feasting in Levi's house. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Some people can have simple gifts as this, you know. Zacchaeus, he thought he was a climber of trees, you know. He should go into the heights, you know, and he should look, you know, well in the community, so high. Yeah. Jesus says, you're not a tree climber, come down, it's not your position. Yeah. Your position is to receive me at your home today. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. Your position is to be a giver, yeah, right? And he says, I'll just give, I'll compensate four times to those that I have robbed, right? Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, all those gifts and the pastoral ministry has the wisdom and has the vision of placing all those. Amen. Hallelujah. But I tell you, this is a very hard task to do. Because the bones, they don't want to move. Because they're so comfortable laying there. They don't want the rattling. They don't want the noise. They want the life to go on as it was. But it can't. I tell you, it can't. Amen. If you want to be a living being at the end, yes, be prepared for some changes. Amen. Be prepared for some noise. Amen. Be prepared for some shaking. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Because sometimes the pastor it's so hard to break through and say, hey, brother, please sing this special for us. Oh, and the bone, you know, is moving like this, you know. And he just needs to, he first preaches that, right? He prophesies it, right? He prophesies all those other gifts and he says, hey brother, you have the gift of testimony. Amen. And this brother feels like he's a preacher, you know, or the sister, especially, right? Amen. Oh man, I have the gift of testimony. I can attract the attention of the people. Listen to how they listen to me. You know, as I start speaking about how my candle got lit, the people just gather around. The people just gather, they listen to it. But that's not all. A gift of testimony is like Andrew in the Bible, right? One of the disciples. What was his task? He came to Peter, he testified, took him to Christ, left. He didn't disciple Peter. He didn't take care of him. He didn't answer all the spiritual questions. He pointed over to Christ, amen, led him to Christ, and went to do another job. Amen. And went to call for a boy with the loaves and fishes. Yes. Right? Amen. Took the boy to Jesus, put the resource before him, left. Amen. This is what a gift of testimony does. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And then the Greeks came over and they are looking for Jesus. Where's Jesus? We have some questions. And Philip might have known the answer to the question. But he took the Greeks, took them to Jesus, and Jesus answered, the pastor of the church answered the question. Right? Because it wasn't Andrew's position, right? Just like the Samaritan woman, she had an astounding gift of testimony. An astounding gift. She just left everything, threw everything out, and she ran over to the city, the old prostitute, right? Yeah. She was not old, of course. She was young, but I mean, she was so set in the ways, and everybody knew her reputation. And she didn't look at what Jesus has done to my life. You know my life. And he's just revealed. Hey, you guys, you girls, you know me for so many years. Come on, let's see who's there. And as he was preaching to them, next verses say, so the Samaritans turned to the woman, says, "Now we believe Jesus, not you." We believe not the words of your testimony, but Jesus now. This is the true gift of testimony. Hallelujah. Oh, it's just like the Good Samaritan, right? Hallelujah. The Good Samaritan is not only a testimony, but he's also a song leader. You know, the Good Samaritan is a song leader in the church. You know, because when you come on a Friday night, you're all bruised, you're all, you know, from your jobs, from all your anointings, from all your situations in the family, and you come to church, you don't want to sing anything. You're almost dead, right? And here comes a man, some people pass you by, but here comes a man who uses his own strength to put you on a power, right? On a strength, on a revival, right? Heals, uses what? Uses oil.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Anointing.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
To heal your wounds, right?
Amen.
Puts you on a power on a donkey.
Yeah.
And then takes you over through the worship service. 30 minutes, 40 minutes drive on a donkey on a power. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And puts you right back where? Hallelujah. Puts you right into the hotel, right? Into the place where the word is preached, where there's a host of the hotel, right?
Yeah.
The pastor, the preacher.
Amen.
And then he says, you know what? It's very interesting because the Bible says, you know what? I'll leave the money here. I mean, even if you don't hear anything in the word today, you'll hear it in the worship. Hallelujah. This is a good song leader, I tell you. When you can draw from the song something you cannot draw even from the word.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And then the another secret he says, and you know what, in some time I'll come back. Just like a song leader comes back after the preaching of the word.
Amen.
Right? Hallelujah. So this is what a good song leader does. He's a good Samaritan.
Amen.
Sometimes we just take it for granted, but it's so. Brothers, it's a fight. It's a battle. Hallelujah. Behind the curtains.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, and here comes the song leader, and he leads into the song, and then he has another helper back there at the desk who is showing the slides on the screen, right?
Amen.
And you know what, Brother George doesn't even give him a list of songs.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh. Just like, you know, just like in the Bible, you know, there were times when there was a big warrior, you know, he was the main warrior, and there was an arm bearer, right? What was the arm bearer doing? The arm bearer was giving out the swords, giving out, you know, if a certain instrument, a certain thing was broken, then he would say, "Hey, hey, well, you give it to me. Give a new one to me, right? Hey, this sword, I cannot use it anymore. Give me another sword, right?
Yeah.
Hey, you should look after my horse. There's homework to it, right? Right? Hallelujah.
Amen.
And the speed of how fast the arm bearer gives the song to the song leader matters.
Yes.
Because imagine he doesn't have a sword. And there's spirits coming from all sides.
Amen.
And he wants to bind the spirits, right?
Yes. Yes.
And he needs a sword quickly, right? Hallelujah. So I'm so grateful for Brother Paul there. He's so really quick. I mean, he reads the mind of Brother George. I don't know if Brother George enjoys that. He can see other things in his mind as well, not only songs, probably. Hey, but he's so quick to show scriptures, to show songs or whatever, hallelujah, because he's an arm bearer, you know, and it's a very important position in the church too, right? Because if he doesn't show on the screen, we sometimes can't sing, right? Hallelujah. Oh, but the Bible says, whoever Jehoshaphat didn't kill, his arm bearer killed. Hallelujah. So it's an important, there's a part of glory that you inherit from the great warrior as being a helper of him, right?
Yes.
Hallelujah. And then the pastor comes and preaches to the bones and he says, "Hey, you singers of special songs, you musicians," he says, "what are you doing there in the church? You're binding demon spirits." Where did you take it from, pastor? And you'll say, "I take it from David. He was just playing an instrument in such a way that an atmosphere was coming down. He was not just playing it. He was playing it for the purpose of the Spirit of God to come down and bind the evil spirits." Yes, hallelujah. Just like Elisha and the minstrel, right? Brother Barham says he just got all, you know, stirred up the old prophet, and then he asked for the musician to come, and then the power of God, he says, the hand of God came down on a minister. So many times, you can ask Brother Andrew, I don't know what's his experience, but so many times it was my experience, when you come back there in the office, you don't know what to preach, and here comes the musician, just the musician, without even the song. You know, Brother Bram says, listen to the songs they're playing now. He says, what's going on? He says, the music is preaching to you. Amen. The musician is also a preacher. Amen. A musician, whether that's a lady, right, or a gentleman, his or her fingers preach because they transfer the Spirit of God if they're filled. That's why Brother Bram says all the musicians have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because this is their main goal, to put this Holy Spirit down on the church, right? Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. And then those singers of special songs, as they sing, they create the atmosphere, right? Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, hallelujah. And then he preaches maybe to some bones which look like trustees, right? And he says, "Hey, you brothers, you are the ones who can take the coin from the fish's mouth, right? Others don't see that fish. But you, Peter, I'll point it to you. I'll point the place for you. You have to be in contact with Jesus to know where the fish is as a trustee, right? Hallelujah. Amen. And then Jesus says, you know, there's even a blessing for you in that. You'll pay for me. You'll pay the tax for me. And you'll pay the tax for you. Amen. Right? Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So a trustee has that gift, right? Yeah. Hallelujah. This is what Brother Bram says, right? He says this is how Jesus used the gift of a trustee, right? He knew where the fish was. He didn't put his hand in the pocket and pulled out the coins and said, here's Peter, here's what we'll finance from the church. No, he says, no, we'll finance it from another source, which you would have wisdom and knowledge how to catch this, hallelujah, and pull it out of the fish. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Ah, he can preach to translators. You know, translators are in the Bible too. Hallelujah, because they are there, you know. Hallelujah. You know, do you know Titus was a translator too? In history, he was a translator of Apostle Paul. And then he became a preacher after that, you know. So there's a whole bunch of all those different gifts, all those different callings, right? Hallelujah. There's a gift of a mother. There's a gift of being young as well, you know. The Bible says, young man, you're strong. Because the Word of God dwells in you. Why aren't young people strong? Because the Word of God doesn't dwell in them. Doesn't dwell in them. Hallelujah. And this is what the pastor preaches into the young people. The Word of God so that they would be strong. Hallelujah. He preaches obedience into the children. Some children are disobedient, right? But he preaches obedience into them. Because it's their position. In the Word. Hallelujah. Children, be obedient to your parents and so on. Hallelujah. There's a position of parents, what they should do, what they shouldn't do with their children, right? And all these are positions, brothers and sisters. And all these positions are not simply, a role that is given to you for a temporary time. It's a piece of Word in you. It's a piece, it's a place of Word. You know, Jesus knew where the Word speaks of Him, right? He pulled out a scroll and he read about Himself, right? And he read and he says, "And the Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Why? Because in the previous chapter, the Spirit of the Lord descended on Him. at Jordan. And then he came and he read about his last experience. Right? This is what the preacher does. He preaches his own experience from the Bible because he sees that in the Bible. Hallelujah. And this position is the Word, brothers and sisters. Sometimes we cannot, you'll say, brother, you should be confident in that you're a deacon, right? You should be confident. The Lord trusts in you, right? We preach this trust into the people, this confidence. Hallelujah. And sometimes we can't be confident. We're like, how can I be confident in myself, right? Yes. But I want to tell you, all these positions, all these callings, all these gifts is the Word. And if it's the Word, then you can fully rely on it. You can stand on it. You'll say, I cannot do it, but the Word can do it. If I have this gift, I have this calling, the Word will function in me. Hallelujah. Brother Branham speaks about perfect faith, and sometimes we think it's something so far away. Brother Branham says Jesus knew who he was and believed in one he was. Because if you're a believer in the Word, he says, you will know who you are, you will believe in what you are. Hallelujah. In what are you believing? In the Word that is in you, and not in your own self. Hallelujah. But in that position which is the Word. Hallelujah. So the pastor is putting those bones together, you know, gluing those bones together. He's building the body. Because the church is a body. It is a structure. It is in itself. It's not an organization, but it's an organism. But so far, it's just a skeleton, right? While the pastor is building this and that, all those bones come together, you know? And then we read that in verse 8, and when I beheld, look, the pastor is beholding all this. It's all happening in his view. Right? He sees the picture. Hallelujah. When I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them. Hallelujah. The strength comes. You see, this brother, he was so weak. He couldn't sing. He couldn't testify. Now you come back after 5 years, he's strong.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Because somebody preached it into him.
Amen.
It didn't happen by chance, because somebody was preaching and prophesying. We're believing a prophetic message. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is why, brothers and sisters, we're living in the age when the anointing is not the lying anointing. It's not the ox anointing. It's not the man anointing. It's the eagle prophetic anointing. Hallelujah. The prophecy. Hallelujah. When we speak out, when we believe, when we preach it, and it comes to pass. Hallelujah. And this is what can overcome the pale horse. You cannot overcome the pale horse with the man anointing. You cannot. Hallelujah. The only anointing that can kill a pale horse and overcome the pale horse rider is the eagle anointing. Hallelujah. And the preacher, a pastor with an eagle anointing, preaches, prophesies it to the people. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. And the sinews and the flesh. There's a certain reputation that you gain. Flesh, weight, right? The reputation you get in the church. I've been here for 10 years. I've been here since the very beginning of the church. You know. I've seen things. I know, yeah. Oh, this brother, I know him for 10 years now, right? There's flesh, there's weight coming to you, right? And then the skin covers you. Skin is what? Brother Bram says it's your religion, it's your teaching, right? It's your doctrine, right? It's the bark of the tree, right? It's the skin. And when you face this man, he knows the message well, right? He knows where it's written, right? He knows all the quotes and all those things. And he you can talk to him. He knows the teaching. He knows the doctrine, right? Hallelujah. That was verse 8. And the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them.
Amen.
Oh, man, this is so painful sometimes. When there's bones, they came together. There's strength. They live an overcoming life of a Christian, right? Hallelujah. They have the reputation, they do. They know the doctrine, they do. But are they moving? They're not. If the pastor wants the hand to go up, he has to raise the hand up and hold it there. Because it's a dead body still. Because if he doesn't show up in there, he'll go back. And he... You know, it's quite a painful experience sometimes. You have it all set, all them you know, in the right places. You've exhorted them. You've talked to them. Hallelujah. You've encouraged them. Hallelujah. You've raised them up. Hallelujah. And as soon as they go, you're gone. Whew. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And verse 9, then said he, the Lord, unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind. What is wind? It's the same word for breath. Ruach is the Old Testament word for breath. Right? Hallelujah. And say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. Amen. So I prophesied as he commanded me. Again, the same story happens. The Lord tells him to preach about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, about being strong and being established in the faith, right? Hallelujah. In your position, preaching about perfect faith. Hallelujah. Amen. As the Lord commanded him, hallelujah, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now they're living beings.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Now they're living beings.
Amen.
Hallelujah. If it's a hand, you don't have to hold it like this. You just tell him, go there. And he's going there.
Amen.
Sometimes you don't even tell him go there. He's there.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
For like a prayer warrior. Sometimes you call a prayer warrior and say, brother, please pray for me. I've been praying for you for the whole week now. Amen.
Amen.
Because it's an organism then.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Because it's the breath in there. You don't have to be pushed. You don't have to have someone, you know, stand behind your back and look, oversee what you're doing, because you're an organism under the headship.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, some organisms are beyond the body, you know, and they think they can be independent, you know, as a hand, you know. Somewhere cut off from the body. No, it should be in the body. In the body means on the headship as well. Because it's the brain that sends the signal to the hand. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. But when this positional placing, this adoption time, whatever we can call it, right, comes and the church realizes, hallelujah, the Spirit of God descends and anoints what you have in your life. Hallelujah. Then the pastor doesn't have to tell you to do things. Hallelujah. You're functioning. And you're functioning in harmony.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh. And then there's a mighty army that stands up, right?
Amen.
There's a mighty backup for the pastor, right? There's a mighty strength that stands up there.
Amen.
And it's a living strength.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh, this is why we're speaking about a revival of the bones.
Amen.
Right? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, they're not more bones, but there's life in the bones.
Amen.
Now. Right?
Amen.
You were bones, now you're in the body.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And those bones, they were so silent. They were so satisfied in their position, right? But then they start hearing a voice.
Amen.
A voice, right? It just like Brother Bram speaks about the eagle mother, right?
Amen.
She has a nest, right? And there's eaglets in there, one or two. And then there's this eagle mother that does everything to keep this nest safe.
Amen.
Right? Catches a rabbit, puts the skin off, makes a nice fluffy carpet, you know, in the nest, right? So that the eaglets would feel nice, right? Because they're small, right? She doesn't want the nest to be prickly, right? And then the mother goes and catches, you know, a mouse or something and brings this fresh food into the mouth of the eaglet. And he's so happy, right? Yeah. And he is so comfortable, right? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Just like Job was in his life as well, you know. Amen. He was doing everything he could. He was a good believer. Amen. God spoke about him and said he is a perfect man.
Amen.
He's an unadulterated. He's spotless. Hallelujah. He's my son. I'm proud of him. Hey, Satan, go and look at him. I'm proud of him. Right? And Job was lived a happy Christian life. Let's look at it from this perspective. We're looking from the coming from the world, denominations, coming into the church. But now let's look at us here. Sometimes we're sitting in the church and we're bones as well. We should be revived, right? Hallelujah. And then the Job, he is bringing the offerings, right? He's bringing the sacrifices for him and for his children. Everything goes well, financially goes well, in the family goes well, and the children goes well. Hallelujah. He is a wise man at the gate of the city. Everybody comes to him and treats him as a prince and asks questions, everything. He has the reputation, right? He has everything, right? He lives a quite a calm life. But then there comes a time in the nest of the eagle, when the eaglets, they get big, you know? And then they stick out from the nest and they say, oh man, there's a good panorama out of here, you know? Because, you know, the eagle mother brings the food every time. The eagle mother brings it and puts it right into your mouth, right? Chews it for you if it's too hard for you. Puts it into your mouth and you're like, you're enjoying it. Oh man, this is wonderful church life. Hallelujah. Oh, this is wonderful. I'll use my wings to just as a fan now. Ah, wonderful. Man. Hey mama, what's the next revelation? I'm hungry. You go on and bring some. Hey, mama, because they're getting bigger. You have to bring them more meat. More blood, flesh. And the mothers, you know, and they're sitting there. Hey, you hurry up, Mom. You hurry up, Buster. We need more revelation in the nest. Right? And then all of a sudden, one morning they wake up because there's a storm, there's a wind going on. And then they're wondering, why isn't the mother covering us as usually? Because usually the eagle may, or any bird, you know, cover his or her young ones, you know, under the wings there from the storm or from the wind, right? Wait, what's this wind going on? And all of a sudden they wake up, they look at the skies and they can see their own mother flapping those wings at them, big wings. Hallelujah. Hey, what you doing, Mom? I'm not comfortable like this. Right? It's not comfortable like this. Where's meat? Where's the fresh kill? Oh my, where's my rabbit carpet? Where's your diplomatic preaching? Huh? It's gone. I feel prickly in there. Why? Because there's a time when God comes to your life and stirs up the nest. Gives more wind. Hallelujah, of the Holy Spirit in the church. Hallelujah. And just blows away all the comfortable things of life. There are so many of them here in the European Union, brothers and sisters. Hallelujah, so many comfortable things. But then there comes an eagle who just blows all the comfy things, all the cozy things away from our lives. And we wonder why. It was so nice, so comfortable. I was laying here as a bone and I didn't have any cares. If I needed to do something, the pastor would raise me and then I would just go down as usual. Right? And Job, he says, Lord, what's going on? He even started cursing his day, his birthday. He says, Cursed is my birthday. Imagine how it affected him spiritually. We know that the birthday of Job was pre-planned thousands of years by God. Was put in his all his fathers, mothers, and the grandfathers, and all the grandpas, and everything back to this day. And God put the right stars in that day, right? To have the right constellation for the man to be born. And all of a sudden, this man says, curses that my birthday. Right? And he can't understand the thing. And the eagle starts stirring the nest. Imagine, from chapter 3 to chapter 38. It was the stirring of the nest. He couldn't understand what's going on. There were people advising him. There was somebody who came with the right advice as well, right? Hallelujah. But it was the eagle stirring the nest. But all of a sudden, God comes in chapter 38 and says, and the Lord God spoke to Job from a what? From a whirlwind. From a whirlwind. Hallelujah. And there was a noise and a shaking. Hallelujah. And it spoke, Lord, while this is going on in here, in the church, in the family, in me, in my life, you don't let me live so peacefully. Why? Because he says, Lord, he says, Job, gird up your loins. I want to talk to you as a man. I want to reveal to you something that was going on before the foundation of the world. Where were you? Right? Hallelujah. Where were you when the morning stars were singing for joy? You were there. And the Lord starts showing him his heavenly position. His predestination. Hallelujah. Oh, I was predestinated for it. Oh, and the Lord says, have you seen the hail that I keep for the days of judgment? From the days from the book of Revelation? The big hail that will be coming down in the great tribulation? And he just reveals all the other things. Have you seen it? He's been there when God was creating all those things. He says, do you know where light lives? Do you know where is the house of darkness? Because you were there, hallelujah, when God said, let there be light. And light is separated from darkness. You've been there in chapter 1 of Genesis. You've seen that. Hallelujah. And the Lord reveals his position to him. You are a predestinated prophet. Hallelujah. You have a position in the Word. An eternal one. Hallelujah. An eternal position. Hallelujah. If you're a musician, you were a musician. Amen. If you're a preacher, you were a preacher. Amen. If you are a pastor, you will be a pastor too. It's not a temporary position. Amen. Hallelujah. Because when we look at the prophet Jeremiah, the Lord says to him, Jeremiah, I don't mind you being young. Because before you were born, before you were in your mother's womb, I have placed you to be a prophet. Amen. That's Jeremiah 1. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And Jeremiah says, man, I'm young. I'm too young to serve the Lord. I don't want to serve the Lord. The Lord says, I'm not asking you. I've predestinated you. I've placed you to be that prophet. Hallelujah. And you will be from a young age. Hallelujah. So Jeremiah was a prophet before he was born, right? Amen. Hallelujah. And when we look at Samuel, after he was dead, right? And Saul came to him, who he was? He was prophesying. You will be here, your son will be here. Hallelujah. So if you're a prophet, you were a prophet, you are a prophet, you will be a prophet. You'll say, why would we need prophets in heaven? You better get there and we'll see. Hallelujah. Why would we need musicians in heaven? We'll need them too. Why would we need technicians? That's the main part, right? I mean, singing is fine, you know. Even some other denominations believe we'll be there on the clouds, you know, with the harps or whatever. With the wrong conception. But, I mean, Why would we need technicians in there? We'll get there and see. Hallelujah. Because there's a principle in the Bible, you know, when for example, when we're dealing with Nehemiah, right? He was just, you know, this wine taster. He was tasting wine. He was checking the wine for the king, right? Hallelujah. And I was always wondering, why would God send a man from the wine industry right into construction? I know God works miracles, but what's the secret in it? Hallelujah. But the secret was that this wine taster, hallelujah, he was a security guard of one man. Right? Because if there was danger in the wine, he would drink it, or he would smell it, right? He would perceive it, and then the king would be safe, right? He was a man of security. Security was his gift. And then God raises him to a higher level of security. He was a one-man security man. And here, as soon as he hears, remember, when you read the Bible, I know Brother Andrew preaches on the Bible really a lot. Hallelujah. So you know your Bible. And you know those people, they're coming, you know, from Jerusalem. And Nehemiah says, hey, is Jerusalem safe? Is it doing fine? And they say, no, it's not safe. It doesn't even have walls. And it put a burden right on the heart of Nehemiah, who was dealing with the wine industry. Hallelujah. And then the Lord takes his gift and brings it to a higher realm. Right? He is now coordinating the safety of the whole city. Right? All kinds of different things. There's a more responsibility to it. Brothers and sisters, this is what will happen in heaven as well. We have a gift, but we don't know how this gift will operate when it operates in a perfect way, when we're in a perfect body. Hallelujah. So it gives me comfort, you know. I thought sometimes, you know, translators are somebody who is very temporary in this world, you know. You use them as a crutch, you know, because you cannot speak the language, you know. You use them as eyeglasses. When you don't need them, you throw them away or whatever. You know, we had some brothers come into our church and they'll say, praise the Lord, in heaven we won't have the language barrier, so we will not have translators there. So, we you know, the translators would always feel like, man, am I not going to heaven because I'm a translator or what? But it gives me comfort when I see myself in the Word. It's not even a temporary thing. Amen. If I am a translator, I was a translator, I will be. Amen. I don't know for what in there. My mind is too chicken to do it, you know. Hallelujah, to understand it. But God knows why. Amen. That's why it's important to recognize your position. Amen. Here. Hallelujah. Here, what's your calling here? What's your bone place here? How can you hear it? Through the prophesying of the Word. Through the preaching of the Word. Hallelujah. And this is how Job realized, oh man, I was preaching all these years. I was preaching all these chapters, but I didn't know what I was speaking about. You know, it takes a man of God to admit he was wrong. No, sometimes we imagine a man of God is, you know, strong and powerful and you know, uncompromising and things. Yes. And then when you read Brother Branham, he says, a real man, not even a man of God, he says, a real man is the one who will admit a mistake. Amen. Hallelujah. Who will admit he's wrong. Amen. Hallelujah. And then he releases it to the people. And then the people become more sincere too. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So I'm grateful for men of God like this. Hallelujah. Amen. Like Job. Can admit they were wrong. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Who can say, I was preaching this, but this was, I was just trying to glue some quotes together. But I didn't see it in the Bible yet. And then when I saw the whole picture in the Bible, those quotes, hallelujah, they came to life. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. And then Job realized and he says, I put my hand on my mouth. Amen. I don't want to speak anymore. Hallelujah. But the Lord says, hey, don't put your hand on the mouth for too long. Amen. Because there's a few folks here that you need to pray about. Amen. those other friends of yours, if you don't pray for them, they won't even understand what's going on. Hallelujah. So sometimes there's a pastoral ministry that helps other ministers as well, other churches too. Hallelujah. Open their eyes, pray for them, lay their hands on them, train them, help them too. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Why? Because the Lord says, because they didn't speak as well as my servant Job. So it matters to God how well we preach about him. Hallelujah. And if somebody preaches well, hallelujah, we're not ashamed to learn from their experience. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because we can learn, we can draw from there. Because God has accepted their sacrifice, and we don't want to be like Cain, you know. We said, no, I'm going to do it my way. I'll sing it my way. I'll do it my way. If this is anointed and God is using it, we'll try to implement it. See. Yes. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We don't want to inventing a bicycle, which was invented many, many years ago. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. And this is how the eagle mother starts.
Amen.
Flapping her wings. Flapping her wings. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. And then this eagle, he or she doesn't really understand what's going on. I was so comfortable in that church. I was sitting for many years. Nothing was happening. I was so, everything. But then all of a sudden, things start leaving from the church. Hallelujah. Things start leaving. Rabbit carpets and other things, you know. Certain feathers start leaving from the church. Because there's a wind of the Holy Ghost sent by the eagle mother.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Sent to stir up the nest. And mother, why are you doing this? Son, daughter, because you have wings on your own.
Amen.
I'm tired to bring the food all the time to you. And you're not doing your homework. You're not reading your Bible. You're not praying. Why should I pray for you? You have your wings too.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And then the eagle mother flaps her wings. And all of a sudden she may just take that eagle and throw him from the nest. And he just goes, whoa, all of a sudden she catches him.
Amen.
Right? No, we'll put you back into the nest.
Amen.
Next day training number two.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Don't be amazed if the pastor or any other ministry in your church takes you from the nest, throws you out. That means you are mature enough to flap your own faith. Hallelujah. To realize your position. Realize your position. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And then you get that win maybe once during training number 45. Hallelujah. You got that wind under your wings, and you enjoy it.
Yeah.
Why? Because it's your position.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And you're enjoying it. It's hard to get into it sometimes. There's a lot of rattle in the bones. Hallelujah. But when the Spirit comes in, it's so natural.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. You don't even think about it. You're just fulfilling it.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Why? Because you're an ego.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh, and then you want to fly yourself.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You become an organism.
Amen.
You start fulfilling your role.
Amen.
Your role and your goal is not the nest.
Amen.
It's not the church.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's your heavenly position.
Amen.
This is what your pastor, I believe, is interested in. For you to recognize your eternal position.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Under headship. Independently in the Spirit of
Amen.
God.
Amen.
Oh Lord. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. And this is what Job realized. Hallelujah. The Lord started revealing him things that were before the foundation of the world. Then you go to chapter 39, 40. He speaks about Leviathan. Who's Leviathan? You may argue he's a dinosaur or whoever. I tell you, he's the devil. Because he is the prince, he is the father of all the proud people. You read the end of chapter, I believe, 40. Hallelujah. And who's the father of lies? Who's the father of pride? You know, it's the devil, right? And then the Lord shows how he treats the devil, how he treats Leviathan, right? Hallelujah. Can you put a hook through his nose? He says, hallelujah. Because God can. Hallelujah. And if you're in God, you can too. Hallelujah. Can you tie him? Can you pierce his skin? You can. You can pierce that religious devil spirit. Hallelujah. You can. You can read this whole chapter on Leviathan. It's a wonderful book. Hallelujah. That shows what God does with his tool called Leviathan. Hallelujah. And he reveals it all to whom? To Job, his prophet. Hallelujah. And when Job realized that he was anointed, he was placed. Hallelujah. Oh, he was inspired. And then the Lord blessed him twice as much. Brothers and sisters, I'm not speaking even about maybe physical things. I'm speaking about your spiritual things. You'll be much blessed when you realize your spiritual, heavenly, eternal position that was there in God. And God wanted you to be that. Hallelujah. Oh, where does it come from? From the preaching of the word. Lord, hallelujah. So thank God for God-given pastors. Thank God for God-given ministers. Hallelujah. Because I tell you, according to the book of Ezekiel, if nobody preaches it on you, it won't grow on you. Hallelujah. Because God told him, grow the flesh, grow the skin, grow the sinew. And it started growing. Because it was a prophecy. If there was no one, if somebody said, grow flowers on those bones, they would grow. Right? Hallelujah. But if you want to be an organism, hallelujah, you should be thankful for somebody who's preaching the flesh on you, who's preaching the skin on you. Hallelujah. Who's preaching the sinews on you, who's preaching the spirit on you. Hallelujah. And then you become whom? And then they stood up, the Bible says. Then they stood up a great and mighty army that Brother George was singing about today. Hallelujah. A great and mighty army. Brother Branham says, when the bride knows who she is. Hallelujah. When she realizes her what? Her eternal place. Her eternal position. She will be what? She will be an invincible army. Hallelujah. She'll be an army. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. Notice one more thing. Hallelujah. We'll be closing probably. But notice one more thing. Those bones laying there. Here comes the prophet, preaches on them. And all of a sudden they become men. They become soldiers. Right? They didn't become cooks. Right? They didn't become sailors. They didn't become businessmen. They become army men. They become soldiers. Why? Because they were soldiers before. Right? They were soldiers before. They were fighting. They were functioning. They were living beings. And then there was a war when they were killed and became bones. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when somebody preached to them that spirit-filled message, hallelujah, they become what? They didn't become kids. They didn't become infants. Hallelujah. They become men right away. Because they were men before. They were soldiers before. Hallelujah. If this particular soldier, he was laying there, maybe a skull and a few bones there, and then the Spirit of the Lord moved on, he became a soldier, and if he was a left-hander, he would be a left-hander there. Right? Hallelujah. If his right eye could see better than his left eye, the same would happen when he was revived. Right? Hallelujah. If he was short guy, he would be a short guy. He wouldn't be taller. Right? Hallelujah. Because they came back to what? To their original position. To their original estate, what they were. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, this is what was going on. Because you were soldiers. Hallelujah. There was a war, Brother Bram says. There was a war in heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. When Lucifer was fighting against Michael. Amen. Right? And then there was a war going on. And at the end of the war, when the man fell, we became what? We became bones in the valley. We became bones in this world. Hallelujah. But the message of God preached by an anointed preacher. Hallelujah. By a call God's Spirit called man. Hallelujah. Oh Lord, revives us back to what? To our heavenly position. Oh, praise the Lord. What we were back there. Oh, it brings so much comfort to me. That I'm not doing a temporary role here. I'm not impersonating. I'm not an actor here. Hallelujah. I'm a living creature that I was before. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And that which I will also be. Hallelujah. All that God placed in me back there is in me now. Hallelujah. Oh, and it will be back there. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, we just want to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Wonderful. Hallelujah. And the Spirit of God told to Ezekiel, he says, this is, I'm prophesying it of Israel. Who's Israel? Who's the true Israel? I tell you, the true Israel is sitting here. Hallelujah. And the historical Israel in the Bible is actually only a shadow of the true Israel that is sitting here. Because they were, the Bible says, they were only shadows and types and images and examples to us. Who is the true Israel? Brother Bram says the church is the Israel. Right? Hallelujah. And he says, I'll take you out from your graves, from your dead conditions, from your dead worship, from your dead songs, from your dead preachings, from your dead thoughts, from your dead ideas, from your dead family affairs. From all the dead conditions, I'll bring you up and make a living organism out of you. Hallelujah. This is why. It's not because the man of God was interested in the bones. It's because God was interested in the bones. Hallelujah. Recognize God behind the scenes. Recognize God acting and manipulating the whole situation, controlling the whole situation. Why was it? Because God wanted it so. Because God was interested in the bones. Hallelujah. Aren't you thankful God was interested in you when you were useless? When he was sitting in church and you were useless. You were in the church, but you were useless. And then there was somebody who was preaching and prophesying upon you. Hallelujah. Day after day, service after service. And then you realized, I'm not useless. Because there's no useless bones in the body. Hallelujah. All the bones are needed. Hallelujah. All the sinews, all the skin is needed. Hallelujah. All the parts of the body are needed. Hallelujah. And then you get revived. And then Brother Bram says, what is a revival? Is it when there's more water coming to the pond? No, he says. It's when the same water is being stirred and trash is thrown out on the banks. Right? So the revival is when the church is being revived. It's not even when the water is added. Right? It's not when the members are added. It's when the same members get revived. Hallelujah. Get stirred up and throw away all the trash to be linked to the eternal position. Hallelujah. And when you realize, man, this was my eternal ministry. This was my eternal gift. It was there before the foundation of the world. It will be after I die. Then it becomes important to you. Then it becomes important to you. And then all the things are automatically becoming less important to you. Hallelujah. And then you forget about the warm sand of the desert you were laying in as a skull, right? Somewhere. You forget all the comfortable. Christian life is not easy, you know. Brother Bram says Christian life, God didn't put an easy life for us. He says, but he sends grace to overcome every situation. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And we value the grace more than the circumstances, more than the battles, right? Hallelujah. Because why? We realize this is what we've been doing eternally. This is what we're doing here on earth. Hallelujah. This is what we'll be doing very soon when we step into our theophanies and catch our glorified bodies.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
This is what you'll be doing.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And as soon as you recognize it, how young you are doesn't really matter.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Jeremiah was young.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And God told him, you don't tell me you can't do it. You will go, you will destroy, you will afflict.
Amen.
Read all that's written in Jeremiah 1, you know, the first 10 verses. God says, you'll go to cities, you'll destroy. And me as a young man, destroying things? Yes.
Amen.
Destroying the kingdom of
Amen.
Devil.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Samuel as a kid realized, being so many years, just a young boy, but he realized he had more revelation than the older fellow in the ministry. Yes. Hallelujah. He had the revelation. Right? Hallelujah. He perceived his eternal position as a prophet. Right? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. David was young enough to, you know, to kill the lion and the bear before he killed Goliath. Because he realized he is a man of war. Hallelujah. He is a king. He is an overcomer. He was an overcomer. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He will be an overcomer.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Even when the Son of David is there.
Amen.
Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So this is what we want to know.
Amen.
We want to know our eternal role.
Amen.
Hallelujah. What, how does it come? Through the preaching of the Word.
Amen.
If nobody preaches it to you, you won't have it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So thank God for those who are preaching.
Hallelujah.
Because then it's a prophecy and the prophecy will come to pass.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Do you love the Lord?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I love Him so. You know, it's wonderful to see all those things in the Bible.
Amen.
You can see yourself in the Bible.
Amen.
Oh, so plain. So easily. Because you were there. It's your
Amen.
Book.
Hallelujah.
I would just want to... close with this song again about the eagle. If I would
Amen.
Like to ask my wife to come, and you can join in there too.
Amen.
If you feel like God is speaking to you through the whirlwind of your life,
Amen.
Speaking to you through the wind, through the flapping of the wings, hallelujah. If you hear that, know that very soon you'll realize your eternal position. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You'll know that these wings are not to make you fan in the church.
Amen.
Say amen or hallelujah or whatever. This is wonderful.
Amen.
But then to act it out.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Beyond the
Amen.
Nest. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We just thank the Lord. You're welcome to join the song
Amen.
With us. Hallelujah. You're welcome to see yourself
Amen.
In the song. Because we're eagle. Hallelujah. We're
Amen.
Not parrots.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We're not just repeating quotes after quotes without a understanding of what is going
Amen.
On in the quotes.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We're not other birds. We're only chirping about the message. Right? A little bit. You know? Chirp, chirp. And all the rest is not even the message. Hallelujah. We're eagles.
Hallelujah.
We are prophet-made, right?
Amen.
Hallelujah. We are prophet-like.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We are big. We have we have a beak, you know. Hallelujah. We have big wings.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. I enjoy, you know, the eagle story. Look, Brother Bram speaks, you know, of that little eagle when he looked up from the barnyard. Here comes the big machine
Amen.
Flying over him. This big eagle mother.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He says 4 meters long or whatever the wings were. He says, oh,
Amen.
Wonderful.
Amen.
What's that? And somebody says, it's an eagle. Oh. Brother Bram says, maybe somebody else told the eagle that he was an eagle. But he didn't see an eagle before.
Amen.
And all of a sudden he sees an eagle fly. Hallelujah. He says, I want to be like this.
Amen.
I'm afraid to jump, but I want to be like this. Because something in me, the nature of the eagle, the seed of the eagle. Hallelujah. wants me to fly higher than I was. Higher than the nest. Hallelujah. Higher than the barnyard. Because we have the wings. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
And the rocks, the eagle mother builds her place of rest, keeps it safe from any wind and storm. But there comes a time when she's to bring up her nest, and the eaglet really wants to know. Say what's going on? Why this doesn't feel like home? I'm not too comfortable here. And the mother flaps her wings, placing them against the winds. Full of love, she answers to her boy. 'Cause you're in need of. You were born to soar up in the sky, trusting in your wings to rise and fly in liberty. Things beyond this nest you view, greater works than this you'll do. Doubts you will defy to fly so high, so high, so high. Fly so high, so high,
so high.
Hallelujah, I want you to sing verse 1 again. Hallelujah. Just listen to the words. Hallelujah. Just identify yourself with that's you. Hallelujah. That's us. Hallelujah. Oh.
In the rocks the eagle mother builds her place of rest, keeps it safe from any wind and storm.
The eagle is still small, right?
But there comes a time when she is stirring up her nest, and the eaglet really wants to know,
wants to understand the position.
Mama, say what's going on? Why this doesn't feel like home? I'm not too comfortable here. And the mother flaps her wings, placing them against the winds. Full of love, she answers to her boy.
It's a love story.
'Cause you're an eagle. You were born to soar up in the sky,
to sit in the nest,
trusting in your wings to rise and fly in liberty. Things beyond this nest you'll do, greater works than this you'll do. Doubts you will defy to fly so high, so high, so high. Fly so high, so high, so high. All my life I tried to live like
other birds,
but I failed.
Hallelujah.
Couldn't find myself, was out of place,
useless. Hallelujah. I was trying hard to quench the thirst that I had, 'cause the position was there. Hallelujah. The seed was there.
With a worldly or religious way.
Hallelujah.
But the Lord came tenderly, called me to my destiny, and revealed His attribute in me. I became identified with the bird that's of my kind. I could hear Him calling
from above. You could hear your theophany calling,
'cause you're an eagle. You were born to soar up in the sky,
trusting in the word to rise and fly in liberty. Things beyond this earth you view, greater works than this you do. Doubts you will defy to fly so high, so high, so high. Fly so high, so high, so high. All the earthly trials I am facing on my way, help me know my Savior well day by day. Jesus calls me higher, and I hold His promise tight. I am joining Him in this celestial flight. 'Cause I'm an eagle, I was born to soar up in the sky, trusting in the word to rise and fly in liberty. Things beyond this world I'd see, greater works than this I'll do, coming to the place where my feet openly are fixed. My theophania face.
Lord Jesus, we just thank you, Lord. Lord, for this message, this anointed message that you sent through your Son of Man, through this prophet. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. Oh, Jesus, and we were bones in the valley, Lord. But you've used your servant back then in the 1950s and 60s. But you've used a certain son of man. You've used a certain minister right here in Dublin. Somewhere in Vilnius. Somewhere maybe in Africa. Lord, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, and he's been preaching and prophesying, preaching and prophesying. Hallelujah. And as soon as we realize who is the pastor, who is the source we're feeding from, who is the ministry we're feeding from, hallelujah. Oh, Lord. Then we realize there'll be noise, there'll be shaking, there'll be changes. Hallelujah. There'll be bones coming to bones. There'll be bones coming to their positions. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. And how happy we are when we realize we are a living army now. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. We can march. We can go. We can see. We can feel. Hallelujah. In the spiritual realm where we were numb before, where we were dead, unsensitive before. Lord, but somebody is preaching the adoptions. Hallelujah to us. Hallelujah. And bringing us up into the heavenly realms. Hallelujah. Where we realize we are not temporary things. We are not objects. Hallelujah. We are living organisms. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. Hallelujah. I ask you, Lord Jesus, so that you would give this, Lord, this understanding to each one, Lord. Hallelujah. So that the body would be functioning, Lord. As it's functioning, Lord. It's so nice to be here in this church, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, hallelujah. I didn't even have a chance to fellowship with Brother Andrew. Lord, hallelujah. And I thank the Lord for that as well, Lord. Because I could preach without any prejudice, without any bias, without any pre-stories or whatever. Lord, hallelujah. Oh, Lord, but I ask you, Lord, to just send this realization, Lord, hallelujah. Realization on every single individual. That they're not to sit in the nest. They're not to sit in the church. They're not to sit in the body just as a bone. Oh, Lord. But to be a functioning member, which they were before the foundation of the world, and which they will be when we are raptured or taken away to that other dimension. Hallelujah. That makes our life so eternal. Oh, Lord, you said when you were walking, Lord, this path, Lord, hallelujah, you were walking, Lord, in this earth, in the body of Jesus Christ, in the fullness, hallelujah. And you said, he whosoever believeth me, hallelujah, has eternal life. Hallelujah. Oh Lord, we have eternal life. We have the eternal gifts in us. Lord, we have the eternal expressions in us. We have the eternal talents in us, Lord, that were before the foundation of the world and will be there after we die. Hallelujah. Oh, then we're like Job, who was in his glory, who was in his glorified, wonderful condition. Then he fell down into sickness, and then he rose up into glory again. Hallelujah. Just like us, just like this army in there. Hallelujah. They were soldiers, then they became dead, and then they became revived. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, oh, thank you for the message that gives us the quickening power, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, for the messages of the prophet, hallelujah, that was preaching it so hard into us, hallelujah. Oh, Lord, thank you for the anointed men that were, oh, Lord, so permeated by this message, by the spirit of this message, that they start acting in the spirit of Elijah, hallelujah. Oh, we thank you for that, Lord, because we realize in this life, in this civilization, we'll be defeated. We'll be absolutely down. We'll be flat on our face with the anointing of man, with the anointing of the ox, with the anointing of the lion. We need the eagle anointing. Yeah. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. Hallelujah. Even though the man anointing may feel so nice, even though the ox anointing feels so sensitive, even the lion anointing feels so bold, Lord, but we need the prophetic insight, Lord. We need the prophetic anointing on us. We need the prophetic preaching. Hallelujah. That would preach the skin and flesh on us. That would preach the rapture on us. Hallelujah. Until we are finally changed. Not even us only, but our children changed. Hallelujah. Our young people changed. Oh, Lord. We just thank you for that, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, I thank you for this church that was pulling for the hallelujah, for the word, for this wonderful atmosphere, for this acceptance, Lord, for this respect, for the time they gave me, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, please bless everyone, Lord, because we want to celebrate Easter together, to celebrate revival together, to celebrate resurrection of the bones together. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. May the Lord bless you. Whoever wants to come, Brother Andrew or Brother George. Hallelujah.
Amen. Since let's stand, let's sing that song. He knows my name.
Amen.
He knows my every thought. I'm sure that you are glad that he knows your name.
Amen.
I don't think there's anybody here tonight that the Lord didn't pass your way. You know, he passed my way right through the service, and I appreciate it.
Amen.
You know, last night when he left the service with Brother Billy, we went to the car park, and he's got a real gift of prophecy. You know, Brother Billy, when he really gets in the spirit, he can almost be like Brother Overton and those brothers. He's got a very powerful gift. And he just came to me at the car, and he said, Brother, I was going to say something from the pulpit to you, but I didn't want to say it. I just want to say a word of the Lord to you. And he said something that was so encouraging, and Brother Vitaly came and said the same thing now. You know, it's really powerful how the Lord works. The Lord uses different gifts, different operations, but it's the same Spirit. And if the Lord's trying to speak something to you, he's got so many different ways to confirm to you what he's trying to say to you. But the Bible says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. That's all you've got to do. And when he said that to me, Brother Bilias, I said, Brother, I received that from the Lord. Be it unto me according to that word. And I think that's what you want to say tonight. Like Brother Vitaly said, I haven't even had 5 minutes to talk with him since he came. I was at work yesterday. We just left straight after service yesterday. But there's so many things that he said there tonight that were very personal things that he said to the lives of people in this church. And I'm saying it to you now, that was the Lord that spoke to you because it wasn't me. You know, Brother Vitaly, we haven't spoken one speck of anything. And some of the things to me when I heard him say them, they were so personal. Of personal situations exactly in the lives of people that I said to myself, I said, Lord, it's so wonderful how you do your work. But there's two ways we can respond. We can take it an offense, or we can receive it as being the grace of God. And I really do believe that everybody here tonight would like to receive the grace of God and the wonderful ministration of His Word. So let's really worship the Lord before we close as we sing this song. About what Brother Vitaly was saying. It was something really, I think we, each and every one of us, it's good to take a heed to.
Amen.
You know, there's so many people Brother says, no man can do anything on his own.
Hallelujah.
You know, this is a body move. You know, this is every joint. This is every ligament. This is the way that the Lord works. And no, sometimes there's people like, he has given an example, say Paul there with the scriptures and the songs. No, but sometimes the only time that we realize that somebody does a good job is maybe when they make a mistake. You know, and that's the only time somebody will really speak to them and say, hey, you know, why did you take so long there? Whatever. And that's the way it is. We take things for granted. But friends, it's the grace of God. Amen. You know, you might think it's something small, but it's not small. It's a very important part to play. And I really do believe we should really appreciate, as we said the other week, we should appreciate everybody that does anything in this church. The Sunday school teachers, the Sunday school superintendent for the children. You know, it's something which you take for granted, but it's the grace of God. It really is. No, God so much loved you and loved your children that He raised up people that have a care for your children. You know, sometimes they have even more of a care to instruct children of the scriptures than the parents do. You know, I really do think, saints, we should really appreciate the Lord for His goodness in these things. But it's God working behind the veil. You know, it's God working with skin on Him. And it's so easy just to look at the skin and to say, ah. You know, we get so used to things. I don't think we should ever get used to the things of God. And I just wanted to say, I appreciate every person that does anything in this church. Friends, it makes it such a blessing. You know, the musicians, like Brother George would be there early on a Sunday and preparing. And I mean, and music, and Brother Vlad and Brother Max. It's not something that a person just gets up on a Sunday morning and they come to church and things can be done in the Spirit. It's preparation for days beforehand, and it's praying, and it's waiting on the Lord, and it's trying to get yourself into a certain channel so you can, you know, you can receive something from the Lord to impart upon His people. And friends, any ministry is like it. Even interpreters, Brother Eli and Brother Jose, when they interpret, you know, that's a gift. It's a real ministry. You know, sometimes it's not easy with visiting ministers. That's why we don't put the interpreters, but it helps people to really, really get into the mind of what God is trying to say. And without those people, you know, laying themselves aside, praying up and getting themselves in the Spirit, a lot of people in the service don't receive the full blessing that God intended for the people. And I think just once in a while, it's good to go up to those kinds of people and shake their hand and say, brother, I really appreciate you. Now, thank you for what you do. Now, thank you that God put you in my life. Because if God hadn't put you in my life wouldn't have been what it is. And friends, I think we can say that each one for the other tonight. You know, there's that song of Harry Reagan when he speaks about getting beyond the curtain of time and meeting all the people there. And the one said, you were my Sunday school teacher when I was only 8. And one day when you prayed, I asked Jesus in my heart. And he says, thank you for giving to the Lord. Thank you for giving to the Lord. And there will be fruits there, Brother Ram says, beyond the curtain of time that you wouldn't expect to find there. But God would have used you. In just sometimes such a, you would think an insignificant way. It's not insignificant to God. It's part of this great operation that God wants to do. So I really say, may God bless each and every brother. And I really appreciate the word because it highlighted some wonderful things down that line. We do appreciate it. Let's sing one more song there. Let's sing that song, The Original Life. The Original Seed. Friends, it's wonderful, the original that we believe.
The original word, it's what I believe. The Son of Man,
well, the Son of Man
is revealed. The seventh seal is unveiled. The original word, the original seed, God's attributes were manifested to His bride in this last age. We have caught the revelation by the last prophet's message, and we know who we are and what we are raised up for. Praise the Lord
for the original life.
The original seed, the original word, it's what I believe,
the Son of Man,
the Son of Man,
seventh seal is unveiled.
The original lie.
Oh, the original seal. We are the Word made flesh today. This is what the Scriptures say. And our names are sealed within, redeemed and perfect without sin. Yes, we are the anointed and inspired by our God, who's the original life. Oh, the original life, the original sin, the original world. It's what I believe. The seventh seal is unveiled, the original word. Oh, the original seal. Our eyes of understanding, He has opened up at last. Sensing victory is ours, who were chained down in the past. Has sounded, and we have responded to our God, who's the original life. Oh, the original life, the original seed, the original word. It's what I believe.
What I believe, what I believe.
The seven seal is unveiled, the original lie.
Oh,
the original seal.
Oh,
we are called unto adoption, full authority and power.
Sleeping saints
will wake and join us for translation in this hour. Gentle days, soon to be over. Glory, hallelujah, to our God, who's the original light.
Hallelujah,
the original light, the original seed, the original word. It's what I believe. The seventh seal is unveiled, the original life, the original seal,
the original life,
the original life,
oh,
the original seal,
the original seal,
the original word. It's what I believe,
what I believe, what I believe,
the Son of Man. The seventh seal is unveiled, the original life, the original seal. You know, somebody was so inspired to write that song. I mean, you could spend a whole week just studying that song. It's so powerful if you think about it. Somebody has had a gift and they laid themselves in the presence of God. And the Lord spoke through them, and I didn't even know who wrote the song. It was someone in Trinidad. But we've been blessed by that. It's a ministration to the body of Christ right up to now. The effects of what that person did in that inspiration, it's just rippling out and rippling, continuing on, and people are being inspired. And it says there, we are called unto adoption. We are called to our position. We are called to our place. That's when you'll find full authority and power. And I'm sure you desire to be there. Let's sing another one. Let's sing that one. Take my hand. Let's agree together.
Amen.
We've got the power in the name of Jesus.
Give me your hand.
Let's agree together.
Let's agree together.
Let all our enemies crumble at our feet.
mercy bound in heaven. At the name of Jesus, Satan has to flee. We've got the power in the name of Jesus.
We got the power.
We got the power in the name of the Lord. Oh, Satan rages.
Oh, he rages. Oh, he rages.
We cannot be defeated.
We can never be defeated.
Church of Jesus is still alive. Like a mighty army, we'll keep marching onward, winning every battle with the Lord on our side. We've got the power in the name of Jesus. We've got the power in the name of the Lord. Though Satan rages, we cannot be defeated. We've got the power in the name of the Lord.
Una specie.
Господи, меня, это сила для нас.
Вот без лица,
когда не будет.
Аллилуйя!
У нас есть сила, это не для Христа.
We got the power,
we got the power.
In the name of Jesus,
we got the power.
In the name of the Lord,
though Satan rages,
though he rages, though he rages,
we cannot be defeated.
We can never be defeated.
We got the power in the name of the Lord.
Let's finish with one more sentence. Let's sing. I'm a pilgrim and I'm a stranger. When the saints go marching in, you know, when you start marching in now. You start marching with him now. How wonderful. It says when we gather around the throne, we'll be shouting glory, glory. I'd say it's a good time to start now. Why wait for then? The Bible says that every knee will bow. Friends, our knees bowed long time ago. The Bible says we will be shouting glory around the throne. Why not shout glory around the throne today? Let's start now, friends. Like Brother Vitaly was saying. Brother says, what is eternal life? It's a continuation of this life in another place, he said. And friends, what a wonderful thing to have eternal life at the time of the resurrection, at Easter time. Let's finish with this and then we ask. Maybe Brother Wool can come and close to us in a word of prayer.
I'm the stranger wandering through this world of sin. On my way to the fair city, when the saints go marching,
when the saints
go marching,
go marching
in,
when the saints go marching
in,
Lord, I want to be in that number,
when the saints go. Oh, I know I'll see my Savior if my life is free from sin. Heaven's door will open
heaven
when the saints go marching.
Oh,
when the saints.
Yeah.
when we gather around the throne, and the gates are closed within, I'll be shouting, glory, glory, when the saints go marching, oh, when the saints, oh, when the saints go marching in, when the saints go marching in. Number. Oh, when the saints go marching, oh, I am waiting for my chariot to swing low and step on the cloud. I'll ride to heaven when the saints go marching. Oh, when the saints, when the saints.
Some march slower than others, but the gates ain't going to close until the last one's in. Because Daddy is waiting for us, friends.
Amen.
With Brother Willie can see his story. Let's sing one more, but slower, just as we come. Come up, bro. It's fun. You can help with the singing, bro. Let's sing that song, Swing Low, Sweet Chariot. I looked over Jordan, what did I see? Coming forth to carry me.
I looked over Jordan, and what did I see?
Oh,
coming forth to carry me
home. The band of
angels coming after me.
Oh, coming.
coming for to carry me.
Swing low, swing low, swing low.
Swing
low. Oh,
sweet chariot, coming for to carry me.
No amount of money in this world that could ever buy joy like this, Lord. There's no experience in the world that could ever match this, what we are having now, Father. And Lord, even as our pastor said, Lord, we don't take it for granted, Lord. We thank you, Father. We're so grateful, Lord, for the men that would put themselves aside, Lord, to let you speak to your children. Father, for indeed in your word you spoke tonight, Lord.
Amen.
Father, oh God, and you showed us exactly, Father, where we were lacking.
Amen.
Father, what we needed, Lord.
Amen.
And we're just thankful, for this is the sweet chariot, Lord, that you are lowering down bit by bit, Lord. That, Father, we may climb on it, Father.
Amen.
Your word, Lord, that it may take us, Father, oh God, from this place, Lord.
Amen.
For indeed, isn't it, as the preacher said, Lord, there's a way of escape that you have made for us, Lord.
Yes.
Father, and we are running for it, Lord. We are marching towards that city. Father, for there is nothing that we desire on this world, Lord. Father, it's all written judgment all over it, Lord. And we want no part of it, Father. So we are thankful tonight, Lord, that, Father, in your great plan, way before the world was ever formed, you saw this day. Father, and you knew what we would need, Lord. Father, and you moved things in such a way, Lord, that your word would come in the way that it has come, Lord. We thank you, Father. May this word, Lord, not only be something that we would hear and tingle our ears, Lord, but I pray, Lord, that it would be alive in me, O God, that this word may be expressed in my life, Lord, that it may become flesh, O God. Father, that I may preach it, Lord, through my life to my fellow brethren. Help us, O God, we pray for our brother Vitaly.
Lord,
we commit him to you, Lord, thanking you, seeing what you have done in his life.
Amen.
For indeed, Lord, we've known him for a long time, Lord, as an interpreter, but to see you using him, Lord, to bring your word. Father, Lord, we thank you, Father, that you are still working in your people, that you are still working in me, you are still working in my brothers. May you continue, Lord, and we know you are faithful to complete your work, Lord. May you restore strength and virtue to him, Lord. Father, oh God, that as he would come tomorrow, Lord, Amen. You would continue to use him to speak to your people. Put us under expectation, Lord. As we go home tonight, Lord, let our fellowship, Lord, be of this word. Father, let us bring the same, Lord, Father, atmosphere with us tomorrow, Lord, and just carry on from where we left, Father. That, Lord, you may have free way in us, Father. We commit every brother, every sister into your hands, appreciating the work that they are doing. Yes. May you bless them, Lord. Father, Amen. We pray for the parents, Lord. Amen. Father, as they take the children to prepare them for tomorrow, grant them grace, Lord. Amen. Father, the brethren that we have not seen this night, Lord, Amen. We commit them to you. Yes. And we ask, Father, that you be with them, that we meet with them, Lord. We remember our brother David, Lord, Amen. Sick at this hour. Amen. Lord, we just pray that you touch him and heal him. Amen, for you are still the same God, Lord, healing your people. We pray, Father, that you would heal him. I pray, Lord, for our sister Vida, Lord, that, Father, you would touch her too and heal her and restore strength unto her, Father. Lord, that tomorrow we might be with them, Lord, rejoicing in your presence. Be with us, Father, as we go home. We ask your grace, your mercy, Lord. Amen. For the devil is never far away when he sees people rejoicing. He's there, Lord, to try to frustrate. But, Father, the government is upon our shoulders tonight, Lord. And we go in victory, not fearing anything. Amen. Father, all the works of the enemy, Father, may they be scattered, Lord. Amen. We rejoice in you, Father. We thank you, Lord. And we love you, Father. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Saints, just a couple of announcements. Tomorrow morning we won't have adult Sunday school because we have two services tomorrow. So we'll just have Sunday school for the children, normal time. And then we'll have service, normal time, 10:30 arrival time, 11 o'clock song worship. Brother Vital is preaching in the morning. We'll then have a short break between the services and we'll have our communion service. It'll be a short, we won't preach long at the communion service, but we want to really just spend time worshiping the Lord for Easter. Just coming into his presence, just remembering his death, just remembering his resurrection, just remembering your resurrection and mine. So we'd really like to really worship him tomorrow. So we will have some tea, some biscuits and stuff out in the hallway there in between the services. But please bring food for your children, bring food for yourselves tomorrow. We'll just have maybe about a 1 hour break. And I'm expecting good things tomorrow. It's been wonderful. Last night I really appreciated the service. Today it was wonderful. To me, I don't want to say much. I'll speak to Brother Vitaly when he comes to our house, but it was good to me. I really appreciated it. Many, many things. And may the Lord grant traveling mercies and God bless you. Amen.
This is my desire to honor
I worship you, Jesus.